Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. Welcome to a new year, our first podcast of 2020, and a new era for the Issue Is. This is a weekend where we begin airing in markets all over the state. We're excited to expand in such cities as Bakersfield and Fresno and Chico Redding and Eureka and to Palm Springs. Hello to all of our new listeners that may be watching us on TV in those cities. And of course, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, we're appreciative to still have them. And hopefully we have some listeners around the country and around the world listening on this podcast. Quite an episode this week. Two of our returning favorites, Gloria Allred and Tommy Lahren. In a moment, the debate between the two of them, the first time they've ever debated. But first, I interviewed each of them one-on-one because both are in the news quite a bit recently. We'll talk to Tommy about homelessness and Governor Newsom and President Trump reacting to her words. But we begin with Gloria Allred in the news this week because of the Harvey Weinstein case, which is just about to begin. Here's some of our conversation.
You represent several of his accusers, the criminal trial about to begin next week. What are your expectations for this?
Yes, Alex, I represent Mimi, who is one of the two alleged victims for whom charges have been filed in this criminal case now pending in New York. I also represent Annabella Shora, who is going to be a witness for the prosecution on the issue of sexually predatory conduct. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of their courage and their willingness to testify. So the trial does start on Monday. Well, the court will on Monday decide what the schedule will be for the trial. On Tuesday, jury selection will begin. That will last probably anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks, probably more like two. And then comes the opening argument and the trial.
And are you going to be litigating yourself?
No, but I'm going to be there to support my clients. And I know that they're going to tell their truth. And it's going to be a vigorous cross-examination by the defense. You know that Harvey Weinstein has what I feel is a small army of highly paid criminal defense attorneys who are just probably licking their chops, getting ready to try to engage in a very, very vigorous cross-examination of my clients. But I know they're going to tell their truth and be strong, and so I'm there to support them.
Part of what Weinstein has said, he just did an interview with the New York Post, which got some attention. And this is what he said. He said, I feel like the forgotten man. I made more movies directed by women, he said, and about women than any other filmmaker, and they're not talking about it. I did it first. I got eviscerated because of what happened. My work has been forgotten. What do you make of those comments?
Well, his alleged conduct towards women or misconduct has not been forgotten. and everything else pales. As we talk about that, there have been allegations from between 60 to 80, 90 women. Only a few will testify in this trial under oath. They'll take the oath, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help them God. And that's what this trial is all about. It's not about movies he made, any awards that he's won. It's about whether or not he raped and sexually assaulted women.
It was interesting when you were very involved in the Bill Cosby trial.
Yes.
And when that started, all of a sudden he couldn't see and had to be helped in and looked very frail. And now we see Harvey Weinstein in a walker looking frail as he goes into court.
He also looked frail as he was sitting there having his ice cream sundae the other day.
What do you make? Do you feel like that's a bit of an act?
I don't know whether it's real or not. I don't know if he really had back surgery or not. I don't know. But I'm not concerned with what his health is. He needs to show up and be accountable in a court of law. And, you know, this is the age of empowerment of women. And this is what we call the reckoning. So that means that he has to face his accusers in court. And, you know, they're brave enough to testify. I don't know whether he is going to be brave enough to take the witness stand. Somehow, I doubt it.
And on that point, R. Kelly, somebody else, mm-hmm. You represent some of his accusers.
Yes, I do.
He's now facing criminal charges as well. Lifetime out with an update to their documentary that got so much attention. You were part of this update that just came out this week. Where are things in that trial, and how likely is it that he's going to be convicted?
Yes, Lifetime has part two. It's called The Reckoning. It was on last night. It'll be on tonight and also tomorrow night. And I do represent the majority of the alleged victims in the criminal case brought by the Justice Department in New York against R. Kelly that is now pending. There are also three other prosecutions, two in Illinois and one in Minneapolis, where I also represent the accuser there. R. Kelly is facing very serious charges of sex trafficking of underage girls, very similar to what Jeffrey Epstein was facing in New York. Of course, he's deceased now, but there's still an ongoing criminal investigation of anyone who may have conspired with him. I do represent a number of accusers of Jeffrey Epstein as well, and we filed 3 lawsuits in New York for them recently. So, yes, R. Kelly is in a heap of trouble. And it is a gripping lifetime documentary. But what's most important now is that he face up to the prosecutions. And I think he's going to have major challenges in doing so.
You're in the news all the time. There was a book that came out by these New York Times authors who wrote about Harvey Weinstein called She Said. Mm-hmm. And they talked about something that you do a lot, which is confidential settlements with people that have been accused. Mm-hmm. And you actually put out an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times defending the use of confidential settlements and why that is good for some people.
Yes.
Why is it good?
And Alex, I also did a follow-up interview with the LA Times about that. Because what people don't understand is that a woman should have a right to choose. That a person who is victimized has had that right to choose taken away from them if they've been raped, sexually assaulted, victimized by child sexual abuse or sexual harassment. And we think it's important for them to have choice, to take control over their lives. There are some victims who do not wish to undergo a civil trial and public scrutiny of what their claims are. And also, they don't want to file with the police. If I can get them a confidential settlement with as much or more as we might be able to get them in a trial, then that's what they want. They want their privacy. Let me also make it very, very clear that even if there is a confidential settlement, they can still go to the police. Mm. They can still testify in a criminal trial if charges are brought. They can still testify in someone else's civil suit if they are subpoenaed. So it's confidential generally about the facts, and that they cannot sue because they've accepted $1 million or two, whatever we can get for them, or hundreds of thousands. But that's what they want. They don't want their mamas or their fathers or their sisters or brothers, their work, co-workers, their community to know that they were raped.
Are you ever concerned, though, that some of the potential perpetrators in that might then do something to somebody else because they weren't stopped? Because we don't know about all of this.
Well, but I'm saying we could know about it if the victim chooses to let us know about it by going to the police, filing a police report, testifying in a criminal case, which she can still do. So it's not the lawyers who silence the clients. It's the clients who decide, I don't want to go to the police. I don't want this to be public. I don't think that any of them should have to sacrifice their privacy, to say, well, I have to do this for the general public. That's ridiculous. It's up to them. And ultimately, I do think that these men who are perpetrators of sexually predatory conduct will be exposed.
All right. We like to have a little bit of fun, as we just mentioned. We like to play some games. So one of the games we play is called the name game. This is where we say the name of some well-known people, and then you think of one word to describe them. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
All right, here we go. So we begin with President Donald Trump.
Dangerous.
Bill Cosby.
Convicted predator.
Hillary Clinton.
My shero.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Sexual predator of underage girls.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Another shero of mine. Long may she live.
Lisa Bloom.
My daughter, and I love her.
And finally, Tommy Lahren.
Can't wait to take her on At Issue with Alex. The issue is with
Alex. Yes, yes, there she is. She's ready for you.
But before put on your boxing gloves.
Yeah. before we do that, though, we do play one other game called this is personal issues. This is where we get to know our guests a little bit better. We put 30 seconds up on the clock, and here we go. All right. So, what is your New Year's resolution?
Yet another dance with Alex. By the way, when you said you're going to have the dancing queen on, I wasn't sure whether you're referring to you or me.
Oh, well, there we go. I don't know where to take that. Eureka just launched their first In-N-Out. That's one of our new markets. What's your favorite fast food order?
French fries.
Who's your favorite actor or actress?
Meryl Streep.
Last thing you binge watched?
I want to also add Helen Hunt.
Okay.
Binge watched?
Yeah.
Homeland.
Homeland, a good one. All right. Recently, California Governor Gavin Newsom and President Trump had a war of words on Twitter after the president quoted a tweet from my next guest. There it is, Tommy Lahren, saying, quote, "Take accountability, Gavin. This is your state, and you and your Democratic cohorts created this mess. You can't blame the president forever. Step away from the hair gel and get to work." Tommy Lahren is a host on the Fox Nation. That's, of course, Fox News' streaming platform. You can watch her first thoughts, her final thoughts, her every thought, and special reports on FoxNation.com. Tommy Lahren, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Good to be here.
Good to
Thanks
have
for
you here.
Giving some love to the tweet. I thought it was one of my better ones. I'm pretty proud of it.
So what you were tweeting about in terms of the president was a moment. We were both at the Democratic mm-hmm. debate in the spin room with Governor Newsom. Carla Marinucci of Politico put out this clip of the governor. Here's what he had to say.
They're not serious about this issue. They're playing politics with it. Expect nothing but misogyny. Expect nothing but division.
So that's the governor talking about homelessness. He's saying that the Trump administration could do more in terms of vouchers for homelessness and help out California more. What's your response?
Yeah, again, I don't know how our governor is able to push this issue off on our president. But again, if money solved the issue would be solved. How does our state and our city, even Los Angeles alone, spending over $600 million a year on the homeless problem, and it's gotten us nowhere? We've got shelter expansion projects that are costing the tens of millions of dollars, and they're producing beds for 140 or less people. There's a problem here. There's mismanagement here. You can't blame the president for that. You are the governor. At the end of the day, California is your responsibility. The president has already said that if they ask nicely, he will help. But they're not asking nicely. They're passing the blame. And I'm sorry, that's not going to cut it.
So how do you solve it? How do you solve homelessness?
It's not something you can just solve. Again, there's a lot of contributing factors here, and you can't point to one thing and say, hey, that's the culprit. But as I just discussed, we're not spending money wisely. I'm wondering, and I've actually posed this question on Twitter as well, and I think that this is a bipartisan issue. We have to look at who is getting these contracts, who's getting these multi-million dollar contracts from the government to create these shelters and these expansion programs. Where is that money going? And are those people that are getting these contracts, are they cozy with our politicians? That's something I want to look at. But beyond that, you have to look at the factors. I mean, you see it here on a daily basis. Your channel just covered this the other day. We've got vagrants stabbing people on Skid Row. It's a problem. There is a sense of lawlessness here, and there is no accountability. It is a free-for-all, and that is created by Prop 47, 57, AB 109. The list goes on.
Do you think, though, that the Trump administration could do more in terms of housing vouchers or other things in terms of the Housing Urban Development Department to help California?
And again, President Trump has said that he is willing and he actually wants to come in on the federal level and help California. But you can't just throw more money at the problem. Mm-hmm. I get that it's so easy to say spend more, send more grants, more vouchers. But if it's being mismanaged and the leadership is not there, you could give California all the money in the world. It's not going to solve the problem.
This week, our show launches in Bakersfield and Fresno and the Central Valley of California, which we're excited about. Ranching, an important issue there. It's a big issue for you. Something that you've talked about a lot, being from South Dakota. Something you've sometimes fought with the Trump administration is over the issue of ranching and how to treat our ranchers in the state. What would you like to be seen done differently?
Well, I think something very simple and bipartisan, actually, that could be done is called country of origin labeling. And I think even the viewers on there, they're on the liberal side. They still want to know what they're eating and they want to know where it's from. That would help a lot of our ranchers in California, in the Midwest, where I'm from. It would help them be able to differentiate their product from foreign meat that's being brought in, that our meatpacking industry is benefiting off of. So country of origin labeling, I'm sure there's those that are watching that are in ranching families, especially small independent ranches. Mm-hmm. They want to see that happen. So it's something I'm pushing for and I'm trying to get the ear of the Trump administration.
So on that meat, it would say made in the USA, right?
Made in the USA, and it would mean made in the USA. Right now, it's actually startling, and I hope your viewers understand this. It can say product of USA so long as it was packaged here. It doesn't have to be raised and slaughtered here. It can be simply packaged here. That's a problem, and it's hurting our American ranchers.
What's the progress on that? Have you heard from the administration on some of your calls?
We're working and we're fighting, but again, it's a leadership issue, not from the president, but for some of his advisors that I think are, you know, not really in tune with the issue. issue. I think President Trump wants to help our ranchers, so I'm trying to get his ear on this, and I know he'll do the right thing because he does care about the Midwest. And he cares about California and our ranchers all across the country.
Well, I hear he watches the issue is, so maybe this will be good. It'll get to him that way. Let's talk about some of the fun we like to have on this show, the name game, something I know you're especially good at. This is where we say one name of people in the news and get your quick reaction to
them. And you could probably get me in trouble, so I'm going to have to filter
it a little bit. That's where it's really fun.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We start off with the President of the United States, Donald Trump.
Badass.
The Governor of California, Gavin Newsom.
Great hair, horrible leader.
Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
She is the gift that keeps on giving.
Congressman, your congressman, Ted Lieu.
Well, failed leadership is what I would say. Look around. Take a look at California District 33, and I think you have your answer there.
A really handsome gentleman who happens to be your fiancé, Brandon Fricke.
Well, he is my fiancé, so I think that's a simple answer right there, my fiancé.
And finally, Gloria Allred.
She's a very good dancer, and I'm excited to speak with her. At the end of the day, we might have differences, but she's a legend, so I'm happy to be here and be on the show with her.
How about that, right? She is a legend. All right, so let's do one more game. It's called Personal Issues. This is where we get to know a little bit about you. 30 seconds up on the clock, and we get to know some of your favorites. So here we go. What's your favorite restaurant?
Oh, boy, in California? I'm going to have to go with, there's a restaurant in El Segundo called Sossel. It's a good Mexican spot.
Okay, New Year's resolution.
Trump 2020, baby.
Favorite president of all time?
This one, that's easy. Look what he's done, and it's such a short matter of time.
What's your dream vacation spot?
Dream vacation spot, you know what? Let's say, I actually am quite fond of Tucson, Arizona, to be honest.
Favorite TV show?
The issue is.
Oh my God, look at that. You know, I'm just going to end on that. Let's end on that.
That's a good one,
so
right?
So up next, the main event. Tommy, Gloria Allred, together for the first time. Stay with us. More of The Issue Is right after this. You ready? You ready for this, Gloria?
Ready to go.
All right,
Thank you. Here we go.
This is going to be fun.
It is.
The biggest story of this week, President Trump authorizing the killing of a top Iranian general, Qasem Soleimani. President saying he took action to stop a war, not to start a war. So where do we go from here? Back with our panel for this week. Gloria Allred, Tommy Lahren back. Now they're together for the first time and clearly matching. I think you guys called each other in advance, right? As part of your...
I definitely have Gloria's number. We coordinated this.
I think you hit her up in the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs.
Yes.
For sure.
All right. Let's begin, though, with a pretty serious topic. Mm-hmm. Gloria, are you concerned about the unintended consequences when it comes to this Iran action?
Yes, Alex. Actually, I'm concerned about both the intended and unintended consequences. And also the motive for doing it. I have a lot of questions, of course, with the more than 10,000 lies that President Trump is documented to have told. One has to wonder, what's the truth here? What's the reason? Is he, for example, trying to change the narrative from the impeachment to a war? I hope not, because he's got to respect our members of the armed services and not put their lives at risk, especially if the reason is not the true reason for doing so.
Tommy?
If I'm hearing this correctly, you'd say that we're trying to distract from an impeachment. I think quite the opposite. President Trump hopes that we talk about impeachment because it's only doing great things for his fundraising and for his reelection effort. But we talk about this. You and I can actually probably agree on something, is that I don't like endless wars either. I think that Trump was right to pull troops out of Syria. I think that that was the correct move. But here we are put in a situation where we were clearly being the victims of aggression, and Iran's been getting more and more and more aggressive. As a president of the United States, unlike President Obama, instead of sending a plane full of cash, we're going to say this doesn't cut it. The buck stops here. So again, I think that it is an incredibly volatile time, but I think this president acted responsibly. And I think that if President Obama had done this, I think the left would be applauding it. So it's sad to me that it's politically motivated to be upset about an action that's, I believe, in America's best interest, something that we had to do.
Well, obviously, you believe in just about anything that comes out of President Trump's mouth. You do not believe in the thousands of lies that he has told that have been documented. Obviously, the truth is really a casualty where it comes to Trump, but you don't agree with that. If he says jump, you say how high. That is what I'm concerned about. This is putting us on the brink of war if, in fact, it is not an act of war, which many people say it is. And why now? Why at this time? What's the evidence that was needed? And why didn't he consult with congressional leaders in the Democratic Party. Why do only Republicans know about this when the lives of both Democrats and Republicans are going to be put at risk if we have to go to war?
And again, I don't think that this was an action that he took lightly. I think when our embassy is being threatened...
How would you know that? You don't know that.
Well, I know that he respects our military, and I know that he has been calculated. He hasn't put us in endless wars. He campaigned on getting us out of endless wars. I don't think this president wants to go to war. But unlike President Obama and Hillary Clinton, he's not going to leave our personnel over there being attacked, having people chant death to America. You can't reason with people that are chanting death to America and want to wipe the United States and Israel and a number of other places off the face of the earth.
He respects our military so much that he tried to and did get out of serving in the military. So please, don't tell me about how much he respects the military.
I think the military would disagree with you there. Actually, many of them are big proponents of this president.
One of the comments getting a lot of attention on social media was something that Rose McGowan said. Let's put this up. She said that we're being held hostage by a terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us. That's what she was saying to the people of Iran. Tommy responding there, all in favor of Rose moving to Iran, raise your hand. What'd you make of that comment?
Well, first of all, what did I make of her tweet? And I tweeted this actually last night. It's amazing that President Trump, by his actions, has made Democrats defend Iran, a murderous regime and a regime that's been oppressive not only to women but to their own people. But again, the Democrats are coming out of the woodwork to defend Iran now. And that tweet, I don't care if you like President Trump, you hate President Trump, it doesn't matter. When you're defending a nation like Iran, there's a serious problem here. That is Trump derangement syndrome at its finest.
Okay, well, obviously she's bought into the major talking points of the Republican Party that Senator McConnell talked about this morning with the so-called Trump derangement. Well, maybe he is deranged. We'll have to wait and see. But in any event, it's not about that. It's not about the name calling. It's about, is this going to be war? I questioned whether we should be going to war and what were the real reasons that we were going to war in Iraq in 2001. It turned out that the reasons given then were actual lies, and people lost their lives. American soldiers and military lost their lives because of the lies that were told by the top cabinet officials. And now here we are again. We need to question and not just walk blindly into that dark night.
Right.
I do have a question for Gloria, though, because I know that you mentioned your hero is Hillary Clinton. She did a very interesting thing in Libya with Gaddafi. I'm wondering if you support that, because there are a few people that are as war hawkish as Hillary Clinton and others within the Democratic Party. And I'm wondering if you would support a President Hillary if she'd made the same move. She did a very similar action in Libya.
What, declared war?
She took out a major leader.
You know what?
Regime change.
Hillary
war.
Clinton subjected herself to hours and hours, I think 11 or 12 hours of congressional questioning, and they found nothing wrong that she did.
Except for the death of Americans.
Unfortunately, President Trump will not subject himself to questioning either by the United States Congress, the House of Representatives, and the impeachment hearing, which he was invited to attend and participate in and declined. And now I doubt that he will appear before the United States Senate either.
And technically, it was the people of Libya that killed Gaddafi, not a U.S. drone strike, although clearly the conditions that the U.S. created
changed the situation on the ground.
Let's talk about impeachment, though. You brought up the issue of impeachment. Do you think that Nancy Pelosi should submit the articles to the Senate?
I think she will at some point. The only question is when. We're not interested in a sham trial. We're not interested where there are no rules that make any sense, where there is no evidence that is presented, where no witnesses are presented. The question is, why is President Trump stonewalling? If his chief of staff, if others who had evidence, who were on that phone call, about Ukraine and withholding aid unless they announce an investigation into Joe Biden and attempt to smear him. Why does he not allow them to testify? If it was going to be good for him, I'm sure he'd put them right out there.
Tommy, of course, Bill Clinton, there were no witnesses in that trial back in 1998.
But when we're talking about a sham trial, I think it's very interesting because this whole thing has been a sham. And again, President Trump has said numerous times, read the transcripts, decide for yourself. And then if you want to go into an election year and you decide that President Trump Trump did something you're uncomfortable with, that's fine. But
couldn't he do more than read the transcripts? I mean, can't we actually talk to the people that were in on the call? That's what they're asking for.
And if this goes, if Nancy would send it over, then I look forward to Hunter Biden. I look forward to Joe Biden having to take the stand.
If Hunter Biden and Joe Biden testify, you think Mick Mulvaney and Pompeo should testify as well?
I think that would be fair, but I don't think you're ever going to see a Joe or Hunter because even being so much as questioned about a very real quid pro quo, by the way, he calls an Iowa voter fat at even the mere mention of it.
So. You are distracted by those Republican talking points because Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have nothing to do with that phone call that President Trump made to the president of
about
Ukraine.
About rooting out corruption where because of Burisma and Joe and Hunter Biden.
Okay, excuse me. I didn't interrupt you.
Yeah.
Ukraine, the phone call where he withheld millions of taxpayer dollars that were authorized by Congress that were supposed to go to Ukraine, who was at war with Russia, withheld them unless and until he did them a favor, meaning announce an investigation into Trump's political opponent, Joe Biden. That's a dirty trick. That's a smear. It's a violation of the impoundment clause and the impoundment law. He had no right to do it, and now he's being called to account.
Last word real quickly, Tommy.
I can't wait for 2020 because this is only going to serve us well. This president is winning for the American people. The Democrats are very upset by that. So I look forward to them watching them find their safe
spaces. Who's the strongest Democratic nominee for 2020?
The strongest Democratic nominee? Their nominee is going to be Joe Biden. That's going to be hours of endless entertainment for me.
What do you think?
Her crystal ball, I guess she thinks is working. Mine is not working, but my choice is going to be ABT, anybody but Trump.
So we got ABT, anybody but Trump, and TDS, Trump derangement syndrome in the same segment there. Well, coming up next, we're going to try something a little different. Have each of them ask a question of each other, which is kind of cool. What would be the one question you have for each other? As you think about that, we want to let you know that we've got a podcast, which we encourage you to check out. We have interviews with Gloria and Tommy as part of that, and all of our guests, a lot of digital extras. Just search for The Issue Is wherever you stream. And you can also log on to our new website, theissueisshow.com. Send us an email, theissueis@foxtv.com. We'll be right back with their questions for each other when we come back. And maybe some dancing. Who knows? Welcome back to The Issue Is. Last segment, Tommy Lahren, Gloria, all read together. We're trying something different, giving each of you an opportunity to ask one question of the other person. Tommy, let's start with you. Your question for Gloria.
Sure. I have a lot of questions, but because I am sitting across from a legend, and I do mean that even though we disagree on almost everything.
You mean Alex?
Yeah.
Alex is a legend too. Okay. But you know, you're a legend, and obviously I grew up knowing who you were and following your work. So my question would be, from a nonpartisan standpoint, what is your advice to a young woman who's obviously in a public field, in a public career, in dealing with it all?
Be prepared with the facts, then reach your opinion, be confident in what you say, as you are, and just be strong, and that's what you are.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate
you.
That.
And Gloria, your question for Tommy?
All right, Tommy. Of the thousands of documented lies that Trump has told, are there any that bother you? And if so, which ones?
You know, I don't, of the thousands of documented lies, I think included in there are how many scoops of ice cream and other things that are nonsensical like that. But, you know, there are things that this president has done that I'm not in favor of, and I'm pretty vocal about it when that happens. However, I do think he's doing great things for this country. So
which lies? Do you believe everything he's ever said, or any of them lies?
Well, I think sometimes he exaggerates the crowd size at an inauguration here and there.
And that's it? Is that the only lie?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to know which lie you're referring to.
Well, I'm referring to any. Open-ended question. Any of the thousands of documented lies, is the crowd size the only one that you can point out that you don't believe
Before
that
you didn't point one out
told?
To me. So
I don't
if you
have
point
to.
One
I'm
out,
the one
I'll
who asked you the question. Yeah. I still don't have the answer.
Apparently, this just became a cross-examination of Gloria Allred. Well, you both will agree on one issue, that of choice. Tommy's been very vocal about her support for being pro-choice, and so I think you both can find some agreement on that issue as well. Yeah.
There we go. There's always something, right? There's always one thing that links everybody together.
And that's a very big issue.
I know.
Especially this year. 2020, and especially if President Trump, God forbid, has the opportunity to appoint anyone else to the United States Supreme Court to any vacancy.
At least we found one area of agreement there at the end. Our thanks to Tommy Lahren, Gloria Allred for not only coming on this week, but for all of their support. And you can check our past podcast episodes for more of both of them, including a lengthy sit-down with Tommy Lahren, which is frankly our most popular podcast we've had. We hope you check it out in the archives of this podcast. We hope that you subscribe, you rate us, tell people about us. We really appreciate you being a part of this journey. So I'm Alex Michelson, and we hope to see you next time. Next week, I think we have a debate between Hassan Piker, the Young Turks, and the Daily Wire's Michael Knowles. That will be something as well. So subscribe and check it out next week. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening.